The way that you presented the text, it was like 3D. Like, I felt like I could, like, get in it and, like, high-five somebody and, you know, be like, hey, what were you thinking when, you know? And it was just, it was a really wonderful way to bring us into the story about the birth of Jesus. I'm not going to go into that level of detail, but I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this because I like having fun in church, number one, if you haven't figured that out yet. And also, this is wonderful news. It's so important that we get in touch with wonderful news. Right. Heaven is always moving. I'm going to read a verse to you. And I would have had, you know, sorry, Jacqueline's not here this morning. I was going to have,
She's just not sitting with me.
There you are. Okay. So now I'm like, I let him off the hook for a second. So I was going to show you what face-to-face looks like. We'll just talk about it with words then, so we won't put you on the spot, okay? I'm going to read you a verse, and it's really important. I just felt like the Lord was communicating that heaven is kissing earth. This is the preeminent story of heaven kissing earth. And the picture of heaven kissing earth isn't to be right in front of each other. It's not even enough for you to put your forehead and gaze into each other's eyes. But instead, it is the picture of a man and a woman kissing. This is face to face. Heaven has kissed earth, and he hasn't stopped since. Isn't it good? Let me read this verse to you. Would you mind throwing the Psalm 85 up for me? I'll just read off the screen. That's my alarm sound. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I forget? Okay. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give you what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Come on, this is heaven kissing earth. So important that we understand that this is the context that Jesus wants to share this message of good news. It's not just about a baby and being born and it being just this raw, you know, as Mike was talking about this last week, you know, most likely in a cave. Those are all aspects of the story. But like a setting on a ring, the setting is that heaven is kissing earth. Come on, Jesus. Before we jump into, if you've read this story, I'm assuming you've at least heard the story, but if you've read the story about this amazing encounter that these shepherds and angels had together, it leads one to probably like ask some questions. Like, you know, things like, I wonder what God was up to when the very first people on planet Earth to witness this thing that had happened were shepherds. What's the deal with that? What is the deal with that? And so before I jump into the story that picks up in Luke chapter 2, I want to just talk to you for a moment about what may have been in the Jewish mindset. There's some interesting things that happen inside the language, the Hebrew language, and what it does is it actually activates and triggers images for our Jewish audience, which is really important because we just memorize terminology. And I tell you something, and you're like, oh, well, love can either be this, this, or this. You know, so our language doesn't activate the same kind of experience and encounter. And as you know, God wants to encounter you with his story. He wants you to step into the story. It's not just something in a dusty book. It's actually designed for you, okay? So I want to pop into maybe a historical view of what a shepherd is. I want to try to bring you back to the past and share with you from a Jewish perspective what the significance of shepherd may actually be. And what I'm hoping is that when we crack it open, that'll activate something in your life to be able to follow the good shepherd. Okay? So let's do this together. I'm excited. A historical view of shepherd, let's just say that the use of shepherd in the text is like, there's some big shepherds. So let's just talk about this for a second. So there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, even some of the prophets were shepherds. Wow. Okay. So there's some big shepherds. Just What is in this group of people? Well, there's leaders, there's nation builders, there's patriarchs. We see the building of wealth, flocks increasing in size. We see humble servants. We see supernatural encounters. These crazy shepherds have these wild stories. Ladders ascending and descending in the wilderness. What is that? They have these amazing encounters. And also the things that move us about these shepherds, that they are hearers and doers of the word. That the spoken word comes to them and they step in and encounter this supernatural presence and provision of God. Now, I have to explain something really quick. So I told you a little bit about the Hebrew word, and I want you to think about some of the words here, because when we start talking about shepherd, these are the pictures that start triggering inside the Jewish mind, okay? So it's really, really important that we understand that these Hebrew words, if I could give you a picture, they look like trees. So they start with a root, and then they modify these words, and they mean different things, yet they still retain the meaning of the root. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'm going to do something. It's shepherd actually comes from a root word, and I want to just share with you, because when the Lord is speaking to the Israelites, when he's speaking in these terms, they're actually being triggered to remember. They're designed to be triggered to remember. What are they going to remember? I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about it. The Jewish word for shepherd is madbir, or madbir. That comes from a root word, debar. So the debar is the root word. And do you know what that means? Word. It means word. Debar, word. Okay? Let me say another one here. Midbar. Midbar is desert. Again, the root word being debar. Midbar. That means desert. Where do shepherds do their work? In the desert. What happens in the desert? Does anybody remember any good stories happening in the desert? How about the Apostle Paul being taken out into the desert to be trained? How about the Israelites having Egypt removed from them for 40 years out in the desert, being taught by God? Countless others, Moses in the desert. The Lord uses this desert to activate people from one thing to being a hearer and doer of the word. So this role of shepherd is imperative. It actually stems from this root word, debar, which is the word, which is a desert, which also means shepherd. All of these things are interconnected. The reason I'm mentioning these to you is because they should be triggering pictures, and they're designed to do this. So, important lessons that the Jewish people learned in the desert. Does anybody ever remember a picture of Pharaoh in Egypt? Do you guys remember he always had this staff? Do you guys remember the staff? Maybe if you're like, maybe I kind of remember him. But oftentimes when you look at pictures or art, Egyptian art, you see Pharaoh and he's got this scepter. And what they did was they ruled over people with the scepter. Whack! Fear and control. That was how their government operated. One of the things that the Lord addressed immediately when the Israelites were moving out of Egypt and into the desert was he was establishing and setting up a different kind of kingdom, one that wasn't based on control and fear, but on peace. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Jewish day starts in the evening. Why? The Jewish day starts in the evening because it begins with rest, meaning your value to the Lord begins in rest before you accomplish anything for God. You have to remember the Israelites were producing brick in Egypt day in and day out for hundreds of years. Their only value before God or before man or before Pharaoh, they were judged by how much brick they could make. And immediately when they come out of Egypt, God has to address this, and he says to you, listen, you need to understand rest. You need to understand that this thing is different. It's not what you do for me. You have value to me before you ever do or accomplish one thing. Jesus, isn't this good? This is all interconnected, you guys. When these words, shepherd, are released, and we start reading the story in Luke chapter 2, they're all connected. The Jewish mind is doing this ting, 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 ting. I remember, I remember, I remember. Remember when? Remember. Remember the desert. Remember Moses. Remember, and they're going, oh yes, I remember. It's incredible. So Let's speed the clock up. I want to move to Jesus' time. Pick up where the story is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I'll read this to you. And in the same region, there were shepherds out of the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all of the people. For unto you a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, and peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured these things in her heart, pondering them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Okay, why shepherds? What's up with these dudes? How come they got first dibs? What's up with that? You know, it's really interesting. The place where this encounter with this angelic host happens is famously known as the shepherd's field. If you were to look on a map, it's actually just south of Jerusalem. The reason why that's important is because in that area of Israel, specifically Bethlehem or the city of David, right? Surprise, surprise, Jesus is born in the city of David. Anyway, little detail, kind of cool. But what was amazing about this specific field is that these particular shepherds were not just any shepherds. These were not just people who did not have wealth that were tending the flock. Because in Jesus' time, real quick, I want to touch on this too. I almost forgot. But in Jesus' time, shepherds that were out in the field tended to be boys and girls of the family. Okay? And so they would be out in the field tending to them, a little bit different than the picture that we see when we start talking about the patriarchs of our faith and seeing their flocks grow in the wilderness. Things had changed. People who were wealthy tended to move into the city, and so there were these shepherds that were out tending the flocks. Now, these shepherds are different than the shepherds I just described. These ones are in a special place. Here's why. So the sheep that they were tending, they had actually been given a mission. These were holy sheep. These were the holy sheep, the ones they used in the temple for the sacrifice of the sin for Israel. So these shepherds, their job, they were tasked with caring night and day, caring for these sheep, these unblemished sheep that would be sacrificed on behalf of the whole nation of Israel. It was like, man, okay, so that's a little bit different. These aren't just your typical shepherds. These ones, this is a big deal. Okay, so that's why these guys are a big deal. Good to know. So one of the things that we also see in this whole story is that we see this picture of these sheep. I love this. Let me go back and read these two verses. I got to do this because this is awesome. Because in here, Jesus is actually speaking to the shepherds, to these specific shepherds. Let me pick up in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you." To who? To the shepherds. What? Why are you giving signs to shepherds? He's giving a sign to the shepherd. He's saying, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Why is this important? What are swaddling clothes? Does anybody know what swaddling clothes are? But they used to wrap baby lambs when they were first born. They'd wrap them to strengthen their legs, which is kind of crazy. So what the angel told the shepherds was, this is going to be a sign to you. When you find this Christ, you will recognize that it's him because you will see him in swaddling clothes. So now they went through the whole hillside going, nope, they're not in this cave. Nope, they're not in this cave. Nope, they're not in this cave. And when they finally found him, they were like, oh my gosh, listen, we have a story to tell you. First and foremost, that is the Christ, because I can see that he is wrapped in swaddling clothes. Boom. So now we're starting to connect with this Jewish story. There's all of this beautiful imagery that's beckoning us, that's calling us back to remember the desert, to remember this thing that God has done, to remember that his desire is for communion, is fellowship, is for us to have relationship with him, to be in right relationship. Now we can begin to identify with this baby being born. This is not just any baby. This is Christ Jesus. This is the Savior of the world. And it's almost as if the angels were telling the shepherds, hey, sorry, no one let you know, but you're not actually looking after the right lamb. This is the lamb you're looking for, the Lamb of God. Oh, I love it. So one of the things that I want to make sure that we have, we're making good time this morning. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things I wanted to spend a little time with this morning was with this idea of heaven kissing earth. This story is beautiful. This story is our story. This story is unfolding again and again and again. It's unfolding before our very eyes. We are co-heirs. We are partners in the kingdom with this God. We are shepherds, angels and shepherds proclaiming the good news of great joy. God has called you to be a shepherd. He entrusts, the shepherds become the first evangelists. They're going throughout the land trying to find out where this Jesus is, and they're telling them the story of what they've been told from the angel. Being able to lay their eyes on the good shepherd. The good shepherd. So now we've talked a little bit about the past. We've talked about the present in Jesus. I want to talk about the present now a little bit. You know, Mike did a wonderful job this last week bringing out some details in the story. He talked about children were slain. So it gets the story, you're like, oh, that's not great news. You know, I'm not really sure why we're talking about that. That's a detail I'd like to just kind of glaze over. But children were slain. That means that something was moving against the promise. We see when the Israelites are moving through the desert, there's always something that's trying to move against the promise. So what does that mean for us here? What's the application for us today? Here's the deal, you guys. The promise is not determined by the leadership in our country. Herod, I don't think we could consider in this story to be a great guy. The commissioning of killing all 2-year-old and younger males. Not a great leader. Tyrannical would probably be a great word to describe his leadership style. Yet we see this story and we put our attention, and rightly so, on the life and the miracle of the Anointed One. Never has there been a time, there's always been a time, but right now it is important for us to keep our eyes on the story that's unfolding with this King Jesus. We have a reason for great hope. Where there's been division in our country, the Lord is here. He is present with miracle working power. He is accomplishing his story, whether sometimes we realize it or not. So don't be surprised if you see something that's moving against the promise. Could be very personal in your own life. Could be family. Could be finance. Could be there's just something that's always dogging you. There's something that's always, whatever that is. Don't be surprised that there's something that's moving against the promise. But how do we then put our mind on Jesus? Remember, the story is good news and it brings great joy. You know, oftentimes when we're at the healing rooms and we're talking about healing, one of the things I get asked is like, what do you focus on? You know, like when you're praying for someone, you have like, there's that moment where you actually have to put your hands on them and then you pray and you're like, I'm in this. I can't. What do you focus on? And my answer is just, you have to focus on the answer, not the problem. You cannot be dissuaded by the problem or problems. You have to put your eyes on Jesus. He is the answer. So you are good shepherds. He is the good shepherd, but you're called to be good shepherds. Let's activate this morning. The Jewish So I've had so much fun, you guys, just kind of getting into some Hebrew and pulling stuff apart, and just have been so enjoying that. You know, one of the things that blesses me most about going through that is God, like, he wants to mess with you. Like, this is too tidy. These pages and these numbers next to it, they're too tidy. God wants to, like, get inside you. He, like, wants to mess with you. He wants you to encounter his presence. He wants you to go, hey, did you read that in there? And you're like, yeah, I did. And he goes, that's not just for the person that was in this book. That's for you. What? You know the shepherd? Yeah, I've called you to be a shepherd. Excuse me? I don't have any sheep. Where are my flocks, Lord? But God wants to get inside you, and he wants to begin to rearrange things in your life. This is too tidy, this preaching of the word in this way, where I share a message with you, and you go out with, you know, hey, that was pretty good, or I wish he would have known Hebrew a little better, you know? Whatever that looks like, that's too tidy. This has to get inside you. It needs to begin to alter the way that you think and that you feel about what God is doing and accomplishing through your life right now. So when we pray this morning, this isn't just some eh. This is like, no. I'm just letting you know right now, you are not safe. And if you can hear my voice in this room, you are not safe from the blessing of God. You are not safe from encounters with angels. Listen, we just read scripture about people who had these wild encounters. Joseph encountered multiple times angels in dreams, and it would begin to give him insight and revelation and wisdom about what he was supposed to do. You guys, this is normal Christianity. So when we activate you this morning, I want you to know, and I'll just give a little testimony to this. A couple weeks ago, I felt like the Lord, during our worship set, I felt like he was going to surprise us with encounters. I got up and I shared a little bit and surprise, and it was Jacqueline, your team was up. And so, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, yeah, I just feel like surprise encounters. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I've had some cool surprise encounters since. But one of the things that happened immediately after that, I just felt like the Lord say, see, I told you, was Jeff, you got up and you said, hey, Jacqueline, would you mind hopping on the keys for a second? And she walks up, and then the whole worship team trickled up. And before we knew it, the presence went, whoa. And I was like, wow, we're in another moment right now. It was a surprise encounter moment. It was a surprise. Gifts and surprises. These are the encounters that I'm talking about. Ones that you don't plan for. Ones that the Lord lavishes on you just because he loves you. And he wants you to know it's not words on a page. It's in your heart. The kingdom is alive and well. And I want to do it in you. Say yes to the story. All right. So put your hands out. Actually, why don't we pop up on our feet real quick? Say this over yourself. The Word made flesh.
The Word made flesh.
Look to your neighbor. Look to someone and say, the Word made flesh in you. The Word is supposed to be made flesh in you. That's the glory of the gospel of the kingdom. All right, here we go. Jesus, we thank you. You are the good shepherd. Jesus, we thank you that we are good shepherds. Now let me declare this over you. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, to give us direction. We just begin to partner our hearts with the possibility, the same excitement of Jesus arriving on the scene that these shepherds, these good shepherds, had been watching and waiting, that you have been preparing the same kind of kingdom activity in our lives. Father, I thank you for the invitation of radical breakthrough for each and everyone in this room, for those who are listening to us online. Father, I just bless those in the name of Jesus. No one is safe from the blessing of God. So Lord, we thank you. I just pray there would be surprise encounters of his goodness, a multiplication of finance, a multiplication of relationship being reestablished. I even pray there would be surprise relationships this Christmas, that you would get a phone call, that you would get some kind of contact if you're estranged with anyone in your family, that there would be just this connection. There would be a connection again. So, Father, we thank you for those reconnections of family. Father, we thank you for hope. any of those that have family members that have been that just have depression or anxiety, Father, I thank you that the stone is being rolled away off of them. We just begin to declare a freedom and hope and righteousness over them that would free them up like they've never thought possible. So we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for your miraculous signs and wonders. If any of you need a healing or something in your body, Father, we thank you right now that you are releasing healing in this room. You are releasing healing in this room. I feel like there's someone that maybe has like a right hip issue. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you right now. We just release healing. Come into wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I actually feel, too, if any of you have struggled reading the word, it's not leaping off the page. I feel just revelation. I just sense a revelation coming. As if you're faithful enough to put your eyes on those pages, God will reveal himself to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. You are so good. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Lion of Judah. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome.
Amen. Come on, good word. Thank you, Jesus. Well done, Josh. Yeah.
More brief word from that Jewish sister friend of mine. She said the Maccabees didn't know the oil was going to last 8 days. They didn't know that was their miracle. We don't know what the miracle is.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over our tithe and offering this morning. What I love out of the word from Josh this morning and the word of God is that that I wrote down in my journal there, is that God will bless those who understand what they're doing in the moment. The shepherds knew they needed to oversee the sheep of the temple. They understood in the moment what they were doing, and God will bless you if you understand what you're doing in that moment. It might not make sense, you know, when the angels show up, but they were faithful to what they knew to do. And we're called to give. We're called to be generous. We need to understand the nature of finances. We need to understand the promises that are linked to giving, to tithing, to acts of generosity, to taking care of widows and orphans. We need to understand that so that in the moment, God can reveal his blessing. God can find the character that we talked about last week to bring radical transformation to the earth. And so we've got a decree around here that we love to decree, to say. And so we're going to throw that up on the screen this morning. You can give online. You can write your checks out to Echo Hills. There's Home Depot buckets throughout the room. And then a tithe box in the back if you have your offering this morning. But in the revelation of where the word has taken us this morning and what the Lord has been saying, would you join with me in understanding the power of this decree. Amen. So here we go. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. If you would like to join us on Saturday night, we'll be here from 7 to 8 p.m. It's just an hour. We'll open the sanctuary for a time of worship. There's no microphone, preaching, no teaching, no, it's just you and the Lord. And so if you'd like to join us, Jacqueline and Grady, will just be here playing. We did this last month, so we thought we'd do it again. But it's from 7 to 8 this coming Saturday. Otherwise, have an amazing week. We will see you on Sunday, hopefully at 10 a.m. next Sunday as we get into looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of the Magi and Herod. Amen. God bless you. Have an incredible Sunday.